I don't know why people always sit at the back. There's always this nice chairs here at the front. But it's anyway great to have you here. I want to just start by praying for us this morning. Father God, this morning as we just stood here and praised and worshiped you, Lord God, and just proclaimed, Lord God, that you are the God of Genesis 1, Lord God, the God that created out of nothing, Lord. And Lord, we say this morning, we proclaim it as a church, that we believe in you, Lord God, and that Jesus, that you are the Son of God, and Lord, that we have faith in you, Lord God. Lord Jesus, that you are resurrected, Lord. And Father, this year, we don't know, Lord God, what this year held for us, Lord God. I believe, Lord God, that 2011 was a busy year in history, Lord God. But thank you, Lord, as Blanche has said this morning, Lord God, that we know, Lord, that we are not on our own, Lord God, and that you will provide for us, Lord God. Thank you that we can cry out to you and be your sons and your daughters, Lord God, that we can stand on your word, Lord God, and also the word that you have for us this morning, Father God. And yes, Lord, we wanna prayerfully go into this new year, Lord God. We wanna, through praise and worship, go into this new year, Lord God, and through reading scripture, Lord God, and coming together as a church, as a family, Lord God, as your people, Father God. And Lord God, we want to say, let your kingdom come and let your will be done in our lives, Lord God, through our church, Lord God, and through every ministry, Lord God. And Father, this morning I just pray the blood of Jesus Christ over us, Lord. And Father, where there's so many things, Lord God, that we can't understand, Lord God, that we can't figure out with our minds and our heads, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that I know there's some things that you want us not to know, not to understand, Lord. And Father, thank you that I know that you reveal things to us in season, in time, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, as Prisca has said, that you provided that ram, Lord God, when it was so close, when it must have been such an anxious moment, Lord. Thank you that you provided, Lord. And many times we come so close and we think that we're not going to make it, Lord. But thank you, Lord, that it's you that keep us standing, Lord. In our own strength, in our own ability, Lord God, it just, whatever we do, it goes to dust, Lord. We want to do what you called us to do, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord, this morning that as we go into the year, Lord, thank you that I know that you called us to be co-laborers, Lord God, to partner with you, Lord God, in spreading the gospel, in preaching, teaching, serving, giving, whatever it might be, Lord. And we just say it's an awesome privilege, Lord God, to be here this morning, Lord, and to know our Lord Jesus as our Savior, Lord God, to know we stand in relationship with you. And I pray, Lord, that, yes, Lord, that you'll keep us and bless us and protect us in this year, that you'll keep our hearts together, Lord God. And Father God, Lord Jesus, that you will guide this boat all the way, Lord God. And thank you that we can feel safe when you are in the boat, Lord Jesus. We just worship you and we praise you. I pray for every family, Lord God, every husband that's the leader of a family, Lord God, for every person in ministry, in leadership, Lord God, for our elders, Lord. Lord God, that you will guide us, Lord. We look to you this morning, Father. And I want to say, Lord, thank you that you are so faithful to provide for us, Lord, to give us a word in season, Lord God, what to pray for, Lord, how to give, where to go. Just thank you this morning for that, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. I've been reading through Genesis recently, and it's blessed me so much, you know. Many times we focus so much on the New Testament, and we read from there, and we want to discover doctrine and everything, and it's a blessing, it's good. But I just felt the Holy Spirit prompting me this holiday to just read Genesis, and it really blessed me so much. And you know, a while ago I trusted God for a word for this year, a scripture that will keep me going throughout this year. And the thing is, I'm going to share it because I believe it's for us as a church as well. I'm going to share it with you guys, and God gave it to me earlier than later. And it's such a blessing, that moment when you know God is speaking to you, God is giving something to you. And as I prayed just now, you know, it's the 8th of January, some of our friends are still on the road or still on holiday, schools will start in a week's time, many of you guys, some have started, some will start next week, but we don't know what this year will hold for us, you know. The people in Christchurch in New Zealand, I see they had an earthquake again. So many things happened in 2011. I think it was really a busy year with uprising and economic crises. And we as a church, we must read those signs. But none of us, I believe, can tell you this morning what 2012 will have for us, for every family, for for every individual, for us as a church, a nation, a town, for us as humans. You know, when we read through Genesis, we see it's the origins of, or what do you say, of the world, of the human race, of sin, of the Jewish people. So many things started there. You know, and we don't know what this year will have. But you know, the word that I feel God gave to me, and I'm going to start off by giving it to you. It's from Genesis, let me just get my scripture ready here. Genesis 18 verse 14. And I believe this is what God wants me to stand on, and us as a church to start off. But I want to challenge you this morning, that each of you, every believer here this morning, every family, that you go to God and ask Him for a word, for a scripture for 2012. Something when those waves come to the boat, something that you can go back to, and you know that it's unshakable. It's something that God has revealed to you. It's something that God has given to you. And what God gives to me will be different, might be different than what God gives to you, or what God gives to you. But please go and take some time, spend some time, walk somewhere, spend time in your inner room, and ask God for that word for the year. My word is actually a question. It's from Genesis 18 verse 14. And it's where God is speaking to Abram, and it says, is anything too hard for God? Is anything too hard for God? And I will conclude this morning, and I trust and believe you already know the answer. You know, that nothing is too hard for God. We had so many testimonies over the past 3 years. You know, I was making a joke a while ago and said, you know, I believe and hope and trust and pray, can still speak English after the holidays. But you know, 3 years ago, I was standing here as a very young pastor, and I'm still a very young pastor, you know. But it's wonderful if I had to read all the testimonies we had in the past 3 years. Just where I see Aaron and Krista standing there testifying when we dedicated little Clarissa last year, just about God's faithfulness and how God was providing, and how God is the God of Genesis 1. You know, a word that we can stand on. And so we can go on and on. And those testimonies, it's so important to us. And I really believe with all my heart, you know, I had the privilege, and I trust that many of you would have had it as well. Thank you, Leanne, to do some reading in the holidays, read magazines, newspapers, whatever. You know, and there's so many questions. Can God? Did God? Will God? You know, and more people are just thinking of God or Adam and Eve, of just like a something that maybe existed there, maybe not, something like that. But we need to stand in that truth all the way. When Jesus calmed that storm, the disciples, their mouths must have hanged open. They were actually in fear, you know. And we must live from a place where when we go into this year, when we're facing the challenges, when we lay awake at night, maybe about your work, your finances, your marriage, your father, your mother, whatever it might be, that you don't believe in good luck. That's why you'll never get me or hear me say, well, good luck for your exams. We don't believe in good luck. We pray. We believe in Scripture. And there where God was asking Abram, is anything too hard for you? For me, you know, is anything too hard for God? I believe I'm going to go a lot of times this year. I will go back to this word. I'll go back to this story right there at the start of Genesis. And I'll go live from that. I will go live from that. So I want to encourage you this year to get yourself a Scripture. Trust God. He is so faithful. If you really trust God for something like that, this year started really off well. There was something, and I said, God, I trust you before the end of January to come through for me in this area. And it wasn't the week, and God provided. And it's a testimony I'll maybe share a bit later. But it's really significant, and it's really big for me. You must go ask God for your breakthrough, for your Scripture for the year. But before we go on, I just want to take a step back, just go a little bit into the story, because I believe this is the word that God has for us this morning. And I want to encourage you to go and read all the way from Genesis, say 10, 11, up to about 20. When you go home, we have time tonight, maybe tomorrow morning, go and read it and let the Holy Spirit open the word to you, and that you can feed from that as well. I'm going to go back to Genesis 12, verse 1 to 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. It's quite big, eh? If God come to any of us and he said, in you I will bless the nations. In you I'll bless all the families. Whew, there goes the shoulders, you know, heavy responsibility. Big thing God is saying here to Abraham. And many times I thought, like, I wish I could ask Moses when I was standing there, the Israelites there, the Red Sea still closed, and the leg shaking. What's God going to do next? Then he opened the Red Sea. And I wish I could walk to Abraham here and I ask him, what did you do with this? What did you do with this massive thing God just told you? I mean, it's not like telling Harry, you look good this morning. Harry, you look good this morning, okay? But this is bigger than that, Harry. I trust you with me. By the way, Harry told us that Vinduk is hotter than Issachos. So, maybe move to Issachos if Vinduk is too hot for you. But this is something really big. This is something really important. And if we ask ourselves now, how was this to happen? How was this come to part what God has said to Abram here? Genesis 17 verse 7 gives us a part of the puzzle. And we're going to figure out this puzzle this morning as we go on. Genesis 17 verse 7, it says, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you through their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And you know, guys, friends, we are offspring of Abram. If we read in Galatians, if we believe in Jesus Christ, we can be counted as an offspring from Abram. There's a line there. We are part of that blessing, a very, very important one. In Genesis 17, verse 4, it says, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. A father of a multitude of nations. Okay? I'm the father of three. And I know Jepson of two, and Dirk of four, and Bertie of three, and so we can go on. You know? The father of nations. I said the shoulder thing, okay? That's heavy on his shoulders, I believe. It's a big thing that God is telling Abraham here. But you know what is even bigger? Abraham must have said, God, you are saying, you are telling, you are revealing this massive thing to me right now. But God, I don't have a son. If I must be the father, I guess it must go to a son, to a son, to a son. And that is how people multiply. I think we're, 9 billion people now, more or less? Okay? How much? 7, Gustav says, more or less. What's 1 to 2 billion? I guess it's not that bad. But the moral of the story is, it has come many, many generations of multiplying since those early days, then Genesis, till where we are right now. Okay? And I guess you can see already, there's something important to this. And the thing is, that this will not come through Abram's flesh. It will not come through his power. Abram, in his own ability, in his own thinking, in his own ways, he couldn't do this. And you know what? Did I say Adam now? Abram. Okay, Abram, sorry. Abram. And the thing is, Abram got wrong what so many of us so many times get wrong. What Saul got wrong, you know? And that's the sad affair of Hagar. Hagar. When I think of that, I think of the cartoons I read in the South African newspaper when I ate my porridge when I was a boy. I loved him always. Okay, I don't want to distract you. Forgive me for that. But you know what happened there? Abram must have thought, like, God, I'll help you a bit. I'll do my part in the deal. Where God said, I will do it. And he went, obviously his wife was involved, and I don't want to pinpoint fingers at her again, but he went to his wife's maid, Hagar, okay? And he slept with her. And he conceived, or she conceived, a son, okay? With the name Ishmael, okay? And that is the problem. He was of the flesh. That's why God later, I'm going to read it to you, said, I will not establish my covenant with Ishmael. I'll do it with Isaac, okay? Because that is where God will come through, his majesty, his awesomeness, his bigness. Okay? And how many times, like Saul, you know, he was waiting for the prophet Samuel to come to make the sacrifice, and it was a war situation, things were tough, and he thought like, okay Samuel, you're old, you're taking maybe much too long, let me do it. And God turned his back on him. He said, I'm not pleased with what you did. Okay? And this is an amazing story of grace as well. 2 years ago, we talked a lot about grace. But we will see here, despite his, let's say, disobedience, despite the mistake he made, God kept on with his promise and didn't say, because you made a mistake, you didn't have a boy with your wife, but with your wife's maid. Okay? But God kept on blessing him, and we are the testimony of that. But it's something this morning, many times, like the Red Sea, like the disciples, Jesus said to them, feed the 5,000. You know, it's tough situations. It's pressure. Maybe you're the husband in the house this morning, or in your work situation, and it's really a 50-50 call, something you have to make. We all know that pressure of laying awake at night for whatever reason, because your mind can't stop racing. And then we make a decision in the flesh. We make a decision like, God, you're taking a little bit long. I'll take the first step. I'll do this or that. Have you done it before? I've certainly made that mistake, and I hurt myself many times before. Here in Genesis 17 verse 19, God said, no, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. Okay? Not with Ishmael, that came through the, let's say, the wrong way, but obviously, if you go and read, that's why I encourage you to read this part. I'm just going to give you bits and pieces. God blessed him as well. You know, Abraham made a mistake, but God didn't curse that boy. Okay? But God made the covenant with Isaac. God still blessed Ishmael. That poor son, it wasn't his mistake or anything. Okay? Now, to put this in perspective, you know, to see another part of the story, while it's something I'm working to. Okay, here in Genesis 18 verse 11, it gives us a part of the answer. It says, now Abram and Sarah were old, advanced in age, and it had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. She was past the childbearing age. I think they were in their 90s. I think Abram were 10 years older. He was 100 or 110, scriptures say. You can go and read the figures. They were quite old. That was why Sarah laughed when she heard, like, she's going to have a boy. Okay? There's no one 90 years old. Yes, I guess I can make a joke. Okay? But in the natural, when we look at it, a lot of people here are relatively young. You know, God said, go and multiply, fill the earth. We can do that. We can run with that commandment. But not to be disrespectful, if a 90 or 100-year-old couple walks in here and they tell us, God has said to us, we're going to have a boy, and through him the nations are going to bless. Harry, you're going to think like, how is this going to be? Okay? And this is exactly what they thought. It was, Sarah laughed. Okay? She didn't understand it. Now the important thing here, they were old, they were past childbearing age. Okay? This is what scripture tells us. Okay? And this is here where the powerful promise of God comes in. The powerful promise of God comes in. And that's where I go to Genesis 18 verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. I think it must have been music to Abraham's ears. You know, it must have been, if you are trusting God for A, B, or C, and the angel or God comes to you and say to you, next year, this time, you will have it. I mean, it's like, wow, hallelujah, praise God. Okay? And I think Abraham must have felt like, what will that boy look like? Because God made that promise. And if God makes a promise, it will stand. And while all other human options, possibilities, he already got it wrong with Hagar, okay, were not an option anymore. Then God came through. Then the power of that promise came through. And it in effect says, nothing is too hard for God. Okay? And this is why God asked this question, like, Abraham, do you believe me? Do you think anything is too hard for me? And the answer is definitely a no. Nothing is too hard for God. Sometimes we are impatient. Sometimes we take the wrong turns. Sometimes we miss it. Okay? Many times we trust God for something and it doesn't happen, and you get discouraged and you feel like, well, maybe let's give up, or God has forgot about me, or something like that. But we should stand on those things. It's really important. This is, as I said, it's really a picture of divine grace as well, of God still keeping on blessing Abraham even though he went and made a mistake. Something God didn't call him to do, because he said, your wife will have a son. Okay? And if we go to Romans 4, verse 17, it says, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead, and calls into existence the things that do not exist. And friends, this is what we need to stand on. This is what we need to believe for this new year. God created out of nothing. Okay? God gives life to the dead. Something that's, when there's no hope, when it looks like a 90-year-old woman that should bear a child, when it looks like impossible, our God is the God of impossibles. Okay? And I want to encourage us, I want to encourage you this morning, for this year, that whatever might come before your doorstep, to your family, to your work situation, to your farm maybe, okay, that you will stand on this. God is the God of impossibles. God created out of nothing. And as I sat there in my study in the holiday, kids sleeping, my wife sleeping, and just reading again through Genesis 1, where it starts so beautifully and says, in the beginning, God created. God said. And then God said, it was good. Okay? And it's not just something to understand where everything comes from. This is foundational to our theology. Okay? It didn't happen by chance. Okay? God created it. And it's something that we must treasure. We need to understand this here right at the beginning of Genesis. And we must take it through to Romans and Corinthians and Hebrews. It's the same God. God is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's always the same. And the God that opened the Red Sea is still the God that we serve. And we today in 2012 have a difficult decision to decide if we want to believe it or not. I was reading through that red book, Answers in Genesis or Answers in Creation or something like that, from Dr. Ken Ham and those guys. Heaney, last year when he talked about the apologetics, he gave it as a good example. There's a lot of questions like, where did this come from and how does that work and stuff like that. And I read there was this little cartoon, and it was a little girl talking to her dad. Dad was reading the newspaper. On the newspaper they were standing, it's an American guy, more young people shot in the school. And then the dad said like, when will this stop? Or when will God do something? And then the girl said, but God is banned from the schools, you know. And God is banned from so many places today. God is taken out of so many things. I read in the newspaper, the U.S. President Barack Obama, for the first time since George Washington, in his end of the year or start of for the new year address to the nation, he didn't give thanks to God. He actually referred to luck, how lucky their family are. And a lot of people in Europe and America, they raise their eyebrows, and because it's kind of a tradition to thank God for keeping them, because their principles, they were a Christian nation. There was another article I read about how from Europe was basically a Christian bastion over the centuries, for a long time. But you know, not anymore. It's moved to places like Asia and African, south of the Sahara, South America, obviously North America as well. But a lot of things are changing. And we are being bombarded with so many things these days that you might just fall for that. But maybe what if God didn't create it? I'm not going to go into creation and evolution and those things. It's a story for another day. But this morning, you know, many times when someone will speak or tell something, you know, just something in your spirit witness, and you know this is right. When many of our elders, David, Reinald, aren't you guys, when you preach, so nice to sit here for me and just to feel it witnesses in my heart what you guys say. And then sometimes a family member, someone influential in government, will say something totally contradictory to Scripture. And then it will be like bad here. You'll feel it, you'll sense it, you'll know it. Do you guys relate with me? Are you with me? Do you agree with me? Amen. It's important. But as we read here in Romans 4 verse 17, God creates out of nothing. Okay? And this must have been such a special moment. You know, all the dads here in the house, mothers, you will know when your first child is born. So special. And when Abraham must have stood with that little Isaac in his arms, I guess he must have just looked up and say to the God who said to him, I will make your descendants as much as the stars of the heaven. Okay? Like, God, this must be it. This is your promise. This is your faithfulness. I guess he just went down on his knees and worshiped God for his goodness. And friends, I want to encourage you to believe this, to stand on this for your family, for your small group, for your ministry, for your family, for people that still lost out there. You can go and read in the latest Shofar newsletter about the book of Rob Bell and Hell. Maybe some of you who have read about that. Okay? Guys, you must read more. You must read a little bit more. Okay? And basically, Rob Bell, a pastor of a church that left his church now, he's basically preaching a gospel where there's no reference to hell or to sin or to all the necessary things that we need to hear. You need to be saved. You need to be born again. That is what Scripture tells us. And there's so many liberal theologians, there's so many universities these days that teach you a theology that will kill you, because it's not what we see here. And we're living in a day and an age where we need to stand up in love and challenge these things with our own testimonies. Amen. Nothing is too hard for God. I want to start ending off by a second last scripture. And it's from the New Testament. Almost the same type of a story that we see. It's not going to be on there. It's Luke 1 verse 31. I'll read it to you. You can just sit and relax and listen. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? She was not married. She didn't have any sexual relationship. This is what this is meaning here. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Go and write it down. Go and read this. Go and study this. Go and ask God for your own word for the year. And I believe, many of you will know Pastor Sias, and I just had an email, I think he said it on Facebook, one of our senior pastors from Shofar Stellenbosch, and he said he's looking forward to this year, but he believes it's going to be hard. Okay? And life is hard. Life is never easy. I had a lecturer when I was doing my honors degree, and always when the guys said, no, but this is too much, or the test date, this or this or that, they moan, and he always said, guys, life is hard. And it's not easy. For many people, it's really a struggle. We still have it really well here. Okay? We still have it good. But I want to encourage you, go and stand on Genesis 18:14 or Luke 1 verse 37. For with God, nothing is impossible. Amen. Okay, and I just want to read it, because sometimes we must read the scripture over and over, and you must just keep quiet a little bit, just shut up a little bit, okay? Just keep quiet and let it minister to you, and just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Genesis 1 verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And he divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So that evening and the morning were the first day. Okay? And the story continue. You all know it. Go and read it again, and maybe once more. And allow it to minister to you. God created, God said it was good. God created, God said it was good. And the story of Genesis continue. Okay? We see the fall of man, we see sin, we see the Hebrew nation, the Israelites came to become a unity. We see so much of God's character right here at the start, right there in Genesis. Okay? I want to encourage you today, go and trust God for something. And say, God, I trust you that before the end of January, this or that will happen in my life. Now just remember, God's ways is higher than our ways. He knows better. Many times, Alwyn Gustav will come, Dad, I want a chocolate. No, I'll give you the chocolate later. It's now 5 minutes before breakfast. You're not going to have it now. I know better. God knows better than us. He knows when and how and where. But go and trust God's faithfulness to provide for you. Go and trust God for you, for your family, for a scripture for the new year. And this morning I want to end off, and I want to call the worship team, Aaron's and you guys, Hannes, if you can please come here. And I want to hold it before you. I trusted God before the time that the Holy Spirit will minister to all of us sitting here. Okay? And if you feel this morning that you, God is asking you, if God were to ask you, is anything too big for me? Okay, and you say, no, God, I believe it's not. But you are at point A. You still don't have Isaac. You still don't have that son. And you look at point B, which is the nations and the generations, whom he must be the father of, and obviously something must happen. If you feel you are standing in your life at a point A, and you just can't see that Isaac yet, I want to challenge us. And I actually want everyone to close their eyes right now, just to close to focus inward right now to what God is saying to you. Okay? Don't listen to anything else now. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you this morning, and you feel you're like that Abraham standing, and you almost want to doubt, like, God, I really, really want to believe, but I still can't see that Isaac. And you may be thinking of going to Hagar, but I want to tell you, the Ishmael, the work of the flesh, will be the consequence, not the son, not the Isaac with whom God established the covenant. And symbolically, right here at the start of the year, I want to challenge you, if you feel this morning that you're in a situation like that, if you feel you're trusting God for something really big, maybe even something small, that's okay too. If you are trusting God for that Isaac, I want you to respond this morning. And just symbolically, sometimes we must, when God spoke to Abram, he went and he built an altar just to say, this is where God spoke to me. We see that habit or routine many times in the Old Testament. And this morning, if you feel you symbolically need to stand up from where you are standing and not come and stand before me or anything to do with me or this pulpit or anything, just to say to God, God, I trust you for Isaac. I trust you for that breakthrough. Then I want you to respond. While all eyes are closed, everyone is focusing now just to the inside. If you want to come and stand here at the front, maybe it's for your spiritual life. Hannes has just talked about you want to break free maybe from something. You know, nothing is too hard for our God. God is faithful. He said, test me. Okay? So I want to ask if you feel you want to take that step and come and stand here. And afterward, I'm just going to leave you. I'm just going to put a bit of olive oil on you, and then we're going to worship together. Okay? If you feel you want to stand up from where you are standing now, just symbolically, say to God, God, I'm trusting you by doing this to give me my Isaac. Please do so. I want to invite you to come and stand here next to me.